Amen. We want to wish a very special happy birthday to Pastor John Mathis. Amen. Today is his birthday, and I can't tell you how much he serves you and works for you and serves this church and serves the kingdom of God, and what a blessing he is to the body of Christ. And we are blessed and thankful for his ministry and for what God continually does through him on a spiritual level, on a personal level. Amen. Praise God. Love you, man. Happy birthday, John. Everybody say, happy birthday, Pastor John. Amen. Praise God. Hello. Three people didn't say happy birthday. I'll tell you who they were after that. I'm just teasing. Glory to God. And then if you haven't voted, vote. Vote. Vote righteously. Amen. Yes. If you live in Georgia, see me. I'll tell you who to vote for. Praise God. vote here in Tennessee. You know, it's in our area right here. I'm not sure about Chattanooga, but right here. Two people are on the ballot that don't even have opposition, that are conservative Republicans. We have other people that are on the ballot, but you do have to go vote. And there are four amendments on there. And so we've talked about those, so we'll not go over that anymore. But a couple of those are very important that you go out and vote. Amen. And praise God. And then I was thinking about John Romek here last Sunday. Wasn't that a blessing? Praise God. Amen. You can take Denny Johnston. What he said, a guest speaker before John, take what Denny Johnston said about Jesus is coming again. Just that meant Jesus is coming again. Amen. And then take what John Romack preached on, put those back together. Because he's coming again, you should be busy about the Father's work, reaching a lost and dying world, and you will have eternal rewards or a loss throughout all eternity of rewards. By taking your talents and using them for the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? But I'm telling you, if you just go back, if you haven't heard those, please go and listen to those. And just listen to them back to back, and they'll be a blessing to you. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Amen. And then this morning, we're going to continue on our series. We're called Grace-Based Giving. Now, last week, we had a guest speaker, but week before last, I gave out some little study sheets just to go along with the message. And so many of you probably got those. But if you didn't, raise your hand, and these guys will see that you get one. This is just seven biblical principles regarding money, giving and receiving. And if you didn't get one, or if you got one and you want another one, amen, you grab one. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And then since we are talking about giving and finances and so forth, let me just say this to you as he's passing those out. Keith Moore. You know, Keith Moore, Margaret and I highly respect Brother Keith Moore. We're fed tremendously by his ministry and appreciate his ministry. And all of Keith's stuff is free. You can just get it online, you know. But Reverend Keith Moore just wrote a book, he has a lot of songs and tremendous series and messages. You know, you see him with Brother Copeland. Of course, he traveled with Brother Hagin for years and years and years. Did healing school at Rhema for years and years and years. It was a Rhema instructor for years and years and years. But Keith just wrote a brand new book on tithing that I highly recommend to you. And so Keith doesn't actually have many books, and you can go to his website and you can print that out, you know, just print it out because it's free. Or I think they'll actually send you a copy of it if you want that. But I recommend that to you. Praise God. And a lot of different things said about tithing, but Keith Moore's going to tell you what the Word of God says, and it'll be a real blessing to you. Can you say amen? Glory to God. All right, this morning we're going to begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1, 2 Corinthians 8, 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are talking about grace-based giving. Hallelujah. And today we want to, I started to say conclude, but I don't know if we'll conclude it or not, so I'll just say continue. So this is actually part 4. If you haven't been with us before, this is part 4 of our series that we're calling Grace-Based Giving. Amen. And primarily based on 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. There are other scriptures, of course, throughout the Word of God that back up what 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 say, and some things we've added to it. But primarily these things we're talking about and the other things we're talking about, you can find them just right here in these two chapters. I remind you that these two chapters, every single word of both of these chapters is talking about money. Is talking about finances. They're talking about giving. They're talking about receiving. They're talking about sowing and reaping. And Paul, I remind you, is reminding the Corinthians. See, he's been there a year before because he's taken up a special offering among all the churches that he goes to, primarily the Gentile churches, amen, to send back to the Jews at Judea who are suffering hardship because of a famine. And so he wants to send back this relief offering, especially to the poor, to the Jews back in Judea. And the Corinthians, you know, a year before, because he's taking this offering, it's a couple of year project and through all these different churches. And so he's reminding them, hey, you made certain pledges. You said you were going to do certain things a couple of years ago. So I need you to come through and do what you said you were going to do. And you'll be blessed because you did. So again, he's taken up a special offering from among the Gentile churches to send back to some of the poor Jews in Judea. And we're calling this grace-based giving because Paul, in these two chapters, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, ties and connects grace to giving. See, those of us who have been given so much because of the love of God and the grace of God should in turn give to others. That's grace-based giving. Can you say amen? See, giving is an act of grace. Now, here's what I want to do, and this is what we've done for a couple of weeks. They're going to put up 2 Corinthians 8, 1 there. I'm going to read some scriptures to you, but this morning I'm going to read to you from the Amplified Bible. But you can follow along in your Bible and listen carefully to these words here because it just helps us understand the scriptures better. Or you can follow on the overhead, and that's the... go ahead and put up the Amplified Bible as we read it this morning. That's great, guys. Great, great. We'll do it that way. Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, we want to tell you about the grace of God, which has been evident in the churches of Macedonia, awakening them a longing to contribute, to give financially. Amen. Now, here's something. Macedonia is a region. You know, like Cleveland is a city of Bradley County, and Bradley's a part of Tennessee. Macedonia is a region. It's a province, a Roman province. And I realized, I knew this, but I'd never made the connection just in reading this one scripture. I realized this week that, you know, Philippi is part of Macedonia. You know, we have the book of Philippians, and Paul wrote to the Philippians. So Macedonia, there's other places there. Berea is a part of Macedonia. But one of the major cities, and this is, of course, a city that Paul went to and preached to, and obviously a church that contributed to this relief fund. And so just keep that in mind. Hold that thought. Philippi is a part of Macedonia. Let's read on here. 8:2, we're going to read all the way down to verse number 6. For doing an ordeal of severe distress, the churches of Macedonia, including Philippi, for during an ordeal of severe distress themselves, their abundant joy and their deep poverty together overflowed in the wealth of their lavish generosity. Notice that, lavish generosity. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave voluntarily, begging us insistently for the privilege of participating in the service for the support of the saints in Jerusalem. Not only did they give materially as we had hoped, but first, they gave themselves to the Lord. You're probably not going to really obey God in this area of finances until you first given yourself to the Lord and presented yourself a living sacrifice unto Him. That's true of any area of our lives. But they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us as His representatives by the will of God, disregarding their personal interest and giving as much as they possibly could. So we urge Titus that as he had begun it, he should also complete the gracious work among you as well. Amen. Now skip down to verse number 9, 2 Corinthians 8, 9, Amplified Bible. For you are recognizing, amen, more clearly the enthusiasm of others, for you are recognizing more clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, His astonishing kindness, His generosity, His gracious favor, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that by His poverty you might become rich. Rich means abundantly blessed. I give you my opinion in this matter, that it is to your advantage. See, God's not trying to burden you. He's trying to relieve you of your burdens financially through giving. It's to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to take action to help the believers in Jerusalem, but also the first to desire to do it. So now finish this, so that your eagerness in desiring it may be equaled by your completion of it according to your ability. For if the eagerness to give is there, it is acceptable according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. And then also in chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's read verses 5 through 8. 2 Corinthians 9, 5 through 8, you can read all of it yourself. He's talking about, writing about the contribution, about giving again. And in verse number 5, we pick it up. He says, "This is why I thought it necessary to urge these brothers to go to you before I come and make arrangements in advance for this generous, previously promised gift of yours, so that it would be ready, not as something extorted or wrung out of you, but as a voluntary and generous gift." Now, this is not just Paul writing to the Corinthians. This is God speaking to us today. Verse 6, "Now remember this, he who sows sparingly," and that's the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Classic says, "He who sows sparingly who sows sparingly and grudgingly." See, sparingly has to do with the amount you give. Grudgingly has to do with the attitude in which you give it. And in line with this whole passage, it's clear, it's real clear when you put these two together. "He who sows sparingly and grudgingly," Amplified Classic. See, it's not just the amount you sow that determines your harvest. It's the attitude in which you sow it. That's not true of natural seed, but it is true of spiritual seed. The amount you sow, what's liberal for you, that may only be a dollar. But what's liberal for you, the amount you sow and the attitude in which you sow it determines your harvest. So again, verse number 6, "Now remember this, who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously, that blessings may come to others, will also reap generously and be blessed. Let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion or reluctantly or sorrowfully." I'm adding words there. Not grudgingly, not reluctantly, not sorrowfully, not under compulsion. "For God loves a cheerful giver." That's the opposite of reluctant, sorrowful, grudgingly. "For God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift." Verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come in abundance to you, so that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in him and having an abundance for every good work and act of charity." Oh, glory to God. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, I made mention of the fact that the Philippian church was a part of Macedonia. When Paul preached to the churches of Macedonia, praises the churches of Macedonia, and said, look what they did. Even though they were going through a difficult time, a hard time themselves financially. When he praises them for their giving, he's not just saying, isn't that special? He's not just saying, they gave, even though they couldn't afford to do it. Amen, and that's what you should do. He's not just saying, bless their hearts. You understand that being from the South, don't you? He's not just saying, bless their hearts. He's not just complimenting them for giving sacrificially and generously. He is praising them for that. No, it's obvious that Paul expects their generous giving to produce a generous harvest in return. Isn't that obvious from these scriptures? I mean, yeah, they gave sacrificially. Yes, they gave even, that's giving, they couldn't even afford to do it, but they gave anyway. And he's saying, that's good, that's wonderful, that's noteworthy, that's praiseworthy, but you can expect because you gave cheerfully and you gave liberally and you gave generously. See, what they gave may not even begin to compare with the church at Corinth gave, but for them it was very generous. And Paul says, according to the word of Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, you can expect a generous harvest because you gave. Amen. I said amen. And we know, because we can read the Bible and we can read the book of Philippians, that he acknowledged in the book of Philippians, Paul acknowledged their giving to him. They obviously partnered with Paul. Just when he was in Thessalonica, and they gave to him more than that, just in Thessalonica, he says, you gave with me more than one time. In other words, you gave repeatedly to my ministry. And this is what he said to them. He said, and my God shall, not might, my God shall. My God shall, strong as you can say it in the English, my God will, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And the word supply there is an interesting word. Actually, the word shall supply is one Greek word, my God shall supply. And the word shall supply means cram to the full. Well, if you get full, it starts to overflow. If it's full, that's plenty. If it's full, that's rich. If it's crammed to the full, that's an abundance. Amen. That's overflow. Glory to God. So he said he'll cram to the full. He'll fully supply. He'll liberally supply, or he'll abundantly supply your every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I just thought that was interesting when I made the connection that Philippi, I mean, I knew that, but in connection with these scriptures, that Philippi was part of these churches Paul was talking to in Macedonia. Amen. And that their liberal, willing, cheerful giving, Paul says in Corinthians and in Philippians, will produce a bountiful harvest in your life. You can look at scriptures about you can look at commentaries, let me put it this way, about the woman who gave two mites, which was a very insignificant amount of money. But you can look in commentaries written 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, who were not influenced by, you know, people criticizing the quote-unquote prosperity message, but they'll all say, every one of them will say, don't you know this woman was blessed in return when she gave those two mites? Can you say amen? Now, we left off looking at seven biblical principles regarding money and giving, and we've actually talked about points 6 and 7 to some degree. So let's go on now to look at number one here. And in this teaching, we actually added a couple just off the top of our head as you were with us last week, you know, because these aren't, you know, meant to be the only way we give. But we also said we are to give worshipfully. Amen. And we are to give purposefully. But let's look at number one on our list. We are to give systematically. Everybody say systematically. And turn over and look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verses 1 and 2, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, exact same offering, special offering that Paul is talking about that we just read about in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, Sunday, let each one, of you lay just the rich people. Let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. So number one, we are to give systematically. That means we are to give regularly, focused, organized, methodical. We are to give it in a consistent manner. Praise God. People that don't give systematically. Now, of course, you understand we're to tithe. Somebody said you really hadn't given anything to your first tithe. But this is true of tithing. This is true of giving. People that don't give systematically usually don't give near as much as they think they gave. Now, I realize and understand that most people that are tithers, they will actually get their check, whether they got it from sales or they got it from doing a job or extra money came in, their increase, they'll take it and then they'll immediately, you know, on that $500 say, well, 10% of that's 50. So they'll figure it up right there. But even some people don't give systematically when it comes to their tithe. And so they come along and they drop a $1,000 check in the offering and, you know, to them, boy, that's a big deal. You know, $1,000, I like getting that $1,000 check. Even big ministries like getting a $1,000 check, you know. And some people, you don't mind if I just sweep under the rug, look under the rug a little bit, do you? Some people just act like they hung the moon because they gave a big check. But believe me, there are people that give thousands and thousands and 5,000 and 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000. I understand that if you gave $5, that might have been more liberal than the person that gave $1,000 for you. That's not my point here. My point is they drop in $1,000, but they didn't give for 10 weeks before that, and they didn't give for 8 weeks after that. And during that 18 weeks, they actually made $18,000, and their tithe check should have been $1,800. Because they didn't really tithe. You know, I did a couple of messages one time, back to back. I did one, are you in reality a tither? And the second was called, are you in reality a giver? Because at the end of the year, you know, because people drop in money here and drop in, and drop, you know. Now I understand sometimes people repent and say, I've been missing my tithe, God forgive me, and that's different. But sometimes people just give sporadically and they give here and there. But at the end of the year, you know, their tithe, they gave $7,000, which is wonderful, bless it, but their tithe should have been $12,000. Their tithe should have been $13,000. They dropped in a $5,000 check one time, woo! But their tithe should, for the year, should have been $10,000, and they only gave $7,200 for the whole year, you understand? And if you don't give systematically and regularly, sometimes people aren't giving near as much as they think they are. And that's especially true when it comes to giving. I gave my own testimony about that. You know, I tithe, bless God, without a shadow of a doubt. And so, you know, I didn't have much money. So for me to give a dollar over the tithe was a lot of money. And so I was given a dollar and I was given $2. And later we were able to give $5 and we were able to give $10 and we were able to give $20 and we were able to give $25 and then we were able to give $50. But even then, when I got up to like in the realm of $50, I'm going way, way back now, you know, still at the end of the year, I begin to realize, you know, when I really just examine things above the tithe, giving $10 here and $50 here and $15 here, I really didn't even hardly give 11%. And so I was impressed by the Holy Ghost to step up my giving. And so I on purpose, see, give as you purpose in your heart. I on purpose begin to systematically give on purpose regularly, whether they were taking up a special offer or not. I purposely gave more money and believed God and trusted God. And you know what happened? My finances increased. They increased quite a bit. I went a couple of years and I did it again. I systematically begin to give more. And you know what? My finances went up more. Hallelujah. Now he says, give as you prospered. So if you didn't prosper that week, if you didn't make a dime, then you don't have anything to give. But you know, most people prospered to one degree or another. So we should give systematically. Amen. And like I said, I'm just making the point that a lot of people that don't tithe or give systematically, in reality, indeed, when they give haphazardly and inconsistently, they don't give as much as they think they give. So one commentary put it this way, giving was personal about this scripture. He said giving was personal and individual. Paul expected each member to share in the offering, the rich and poor alike. Anyone who had an income was privileged to share and to help those in need. He wanted all to share in the blessing. The blessing comes in two ways. You remember Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Paul revealed that to us. Is it more blessed to give than it is to receive? That was weak, but I know I know you believe it. So it's more blessed to give than to receive. And number two, when you give, then you will reap a harvest. Praise God. He said, giving is to be proportionate as God has prospered him. 1 Corinthians 16, 2 suggests that believers who have more should give more. The Jewish believers in the church would have been accustomed to the tithe. So Paul did not mention any special portion. Certainly the tithe, 10% of one's income, is a good place to begin our stewardship. But we must not remain at that level. As the Lord gives us more, we should plan to give more. The trouble is, too many saints, as they earn more, involve themselves in more and more financial obligations, and then they're not able to give more to the Lord. Amen. And so we should give systematically. Everybody say amen. Amen. Glory to God. I remember, you know, when Margaret and I came along way back in Tifton, Georgia, we'd graduated from Rhema. We went back there, and there was a man there who later became an instructor at Rhema. And we went to his home Bible study, you know, in the early church, a lot of churches were home churches. And so he, in essence, was our church. He preached the Word of God. He preached the Word of Strong. So we tithed to him. And I also, because I knew him pretty good and we were friends, he would, you know, from, it'd be like in Cleveland, he might have a Bible study in Chattanooga on Tuesday, and on Thursday night, he might go up to Knoxville, and on once a month, he might go up to someplace around Nashville for a home Bible study. And I would travel with him to a lot of those. And so we began to tithe to him because he, in essence, was our pastor, and that was, in essence, was our church. And so we're just giving $9 a week, $10 a week, $12 a week, you know, because we didn't make much money. We're tithing to him. And he told me one time, he said, you know, I have to watch myself as a minister because you'll go to, you know, a Bible study might only be six people there. There might be 35 people. There might be 95 people there, but there might only be seven. He said, you go to some place and there's a guy that's dropped a $100 check in the, you know, before. And of course, you know, they need to eat. You know what I mean? They're believing God for every penny. But he told me, he said, so I have to watch myself. You know, I trust in God. God's my source. God's my provider, not any individual person. That's good advice. Praise God. But then he came back and he said, you know, y'all give $10 here and $12 here and $10 here and $12 week after week after week, systematically, week after week. He said, at the end of the year, you're actually one of the biggest givers to this ministry we've got. I mean, here's a guy that drops in $100 or a guy that even drops in $500. But at the end of the year, y'all gave $600. Just that systematic, regular giving. And every church and every minister that exists on the planet of the earth, they'll tell you great, marvelous, wonderful stories about big checks they've received. Oh, and we get all excited about them. But they will also tell you it's those people that give systematically and regularly to us week after week after week. They are the backbone of this ministry and this church financially. Just a fact. I'm just sharing that with you. Amen. Praise God. Number two, I'm going to put number two and number three together because they just flow together so good. Number two, we are to give proportionately. And number three, we are to give generously. We're talking about above the tithe. We are to give proportionately and we are to give generously. We are to give in proportion to what we have. We just read where God, through the Apostle Paul, said, give as you are able in accordance with the measure in which the Lord has blessed you. Amen. Give as you have prospered. He's telling them to do it on a weekly basis. So give as you've prospered. We read in 2 Corinthians 8:12 and pointed out many times, says our giving is accepted according to what we have and not according to what we don't have. Amen. Praise God. So for the widow that gave the two mites, Jesus said she gave more than they all because that's all she had. Amen. So we give in accordance to what we have. A dollar might be very liberal for somebody. For somebody else, it could be extremely stingy. It depends on what you have. Amen. Glory to God. So this doesn't mean we're only to give when we have extra. Well, when I get extra, I'll give. Paul said, I expect everyone to give as they have prospered. Amen. So you're going to pay your tithe and you say, man, I don't have much left over. But if you just give a portion of that, then it's generous for you. See, we are to give proportionately, but we are to give generously. And the good news is, here's the good news. Everybody, I don't care if you don't increase but $50 a week. Everybody in the body of Christ can be a generous giver. Everybody. See, stop waiting till you get before you start giving. No. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross so that you'd be prosperous? So that you'd be blessed financially. You know, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you might be abundantly supplied. Faith does not say, one day I'll be abundantly supplied. Faith says, I believe, I receive, and I'm abundantly blessed right now, according to the Word of God. And then you go out and you act like that so. So you say, yeah, I'm a big giver. Now that 50 cent that you give may be very generous, but if that's all you had, then that was you being a big giver. And as you do it in faith, believing God, more and more comes. You give more and more comes. You give more and more comes. You give more. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. So we give proportionally. Amen. Glory to God. So it's obvious we should give, not just say, well, I can't give anything. No, it's obvious we should give and that we should give generously. That is what's generous for us. Amen. Glory to God. And then we are to give it generously. Everyone, that's such a revelation, I think. Everyone can be a generous giver. Everyone can be a generous giver because God looks at our giving in proportion to what we have. So if you give something, forget the amount. If you give it and it was generous for you, then you're a generous giver. Amen. Psalms 112:5, New International Version says, God will come to those who are generous. Rick Renner said, God is generous with the generous. Mark Hankin said, if you'll get addicted to giving, God will support your habit. I like that. Amen. Praise God. And we Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous person will be abundantly supplied. Is that true or is it not true? If it's not true, then mark it out in your Bible. The generous person will be made rich or will be have a full supply or be abundantly supplied. It's interesting that you read in Romans chapter 12, verse number 8. You know, Romans 12 lists different gifts that people are particularly gifted in or motivated to operate in. It's an unusual listing of gifts. It's not the ministry gifts, the apostle, the pastor, the prophet, the teacher, you know, the evangelist. Amen. It's not the spiritual gifts, you know, the nine gifts of the Spirit, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues. No, he lists gifts like showing mercy. He lists gifts like serving, like teaching, like exhortation, like being an administrator or a leader. You know, certain people are just servers. You know, at our dinner last week, you're not going to see them in the forefront. You're not going to see them in the pulpit, but they're over there in the background. They're serving. They're working. They're working in the kitchen. They're getting everything ready. At the end of it, they're taking down tables. That pushes their buttons. That's the way God uses them. And what a great blessing that is for people who serve and work in the ministry of helps. Some people are gifted with leadership abilities. Amen. And I'm saying this to you for a particular reason. Some people show mercy. Now here you got to understand this. Now listen, we are all called to walk in love. Can you say amen? But some people are particularly motivated to be really merciful. Other people, instead of showing mercy to them, they're more, one of those gifts is to be an exhorter or an encourager. They're encouraging them, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. God loves you, you can make it. The mercy motivated person is telling, I don't care about your past mistakes. I don't care about your failures. You know, God loves you. God will forgive you. And so thank God for all these different gifts. Amen. Now I said that to you because one of those gifts is the gift, one of those motivational gifts, we call them sometimes, is giving. And so sometimes it says, if you show mercy, do it with cheerfulness. If you lead and administrate, then do it with diligence. And when it comes to giving, it says to the giver, this is exactly the way it says it. It says, if you have the gift of giving to those who give, do it generously. And all of us are called to be givers. We may not have the motivational gift of giving, but when we give, we ought to do it generously. Here, how many scriptures is that? Scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture telling us that, you know, again, 2 Corinthians 9:6, whoever sows generously, liberally, will reap generously. All these scriptures, the generous person shall be made rich. If you give, give generously. God will come to those who give generous. So we are to give generously. Can you say amen? And then number four on our list is believers are to give willingly. We saw that again clearly in 2 Corinthians 8:9. We are not to give grudgingly. We're not to give reluctantly. We're not to give sorrowfully. We're not to give because we have to, because just as a religious duty. No, we are to do it willingly. Amen. Glory to God. Concerning building the temple, tabernacle rather, not the temple, but the tabernacle in the Old Testament, Exodus 35:5, listen to this. Moses said, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord. Who's ever of a willing heart? Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And then Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8:12, our giving is accepted if giving freely, if giving willingly. The Amplified Bible says it's accepted if it's given eagerly. So we are to give systematically, we are to give proportionately, we are to give generously, and we are to give willingly. And then number five, we are to give cheerfully. Well, you see, when you contrast that, he's not just talking about being, he's contrasting that with giving sorrowfully, grudgingly. You don't want to do it. You do it unwillingly. You do it reluctantly. That's what he's contrasting. A cheerful giver is one who gives willingly and who's glad to do it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So as you combine all of these points, if we give, amen, and sow willingly and freely and cheerfully what is a generous amount for us, and we expect a harvest and don't grow weary, then according to the Word of God, the Creator of the universe, Almighty God Himself, you will reap a bountiful, generous harvest. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And so let me say this to you, and I'll just introduce this to you because I think I just want to preach a whole message on this because this could be life-changing for somebody. You don't, in one sense, you don't give your way out of debt. You believe your way out of debt. You do what God tells you to do. You cooperate with His spiritual principles. But you do something, in this case, give. You know, treat your wife the right way. You do all of those different things. Train up your child the way they should go. You do all of those things, but you do them in faith. Amen. Because spiritual principles work. They work for anybody that work them. They work best for people who know the King of the Kingdom. So here's something very interesting I saw from Bob Yandian, and there's much more to this, but he says, if you believe you are financial best by faith, then you act like you are financial best, and you begin to give. This begins a life of divine prosperity. Now here's what you have to watch out for. The secret to miracles and the key to faith is to believe that you have something right now. You believe, you receive. You acknowledge that Jesus bought and paid for something for you when He died on the cross and was raised from the dead. And you accept that by faith. You take that by faith and you believe that it's yours and that you have it right now. You're not trying to get it one day. Oh, I just know God can heal me. I know one day I'm going to be healed. I know God is going to heal me. But when you put it off into the future, that's not faith. That's hope. See, it's not yours. You take it by faith. And you say, and people understand this when it comes to healing. You say, bless God, according to the word of God, I'm healed. What did the doctor's report yesterday say? Well, it said, I'm not healed. But the word of God says, I'm healed. So I believe the report of the Lord, I am healed because God says I'm healed. And you stand on that truth and you believe that truth and you act like it's so. Isn't that right? But when it comes to prosperity, a lot of people don't do that. They say, one day I'm going to be blessed. One day I'm going to be blessed. One day I'm going to be blessed financially. One day I'm going to be blessed. One day I'm going to be blessed. You never believe that you are blessed. You say, well, yeah, but you can look at my... Yeah, but we walk by faith and not by sight. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law was poverty. Christ has redeemed us, part of the curse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That the blessing of Abraham, part of the blessing of Abraham, was that we might be abundantly supplied. So right now, by faith, I say, I realized this many years ago. I say, glory to God, regardless of what I can see, regardless of my present tense situation, I am blessed. I'm not waiting for someday to be blessed. I am blessed right now by faith. And I act like it's so. And I talk like it's so. I was a policeman walking the beat, because I walk the beat 3 or 4 days out of the week sometimes, with holes in the bottom of my shoes. I said, glory to God, I'm blessed. Why are you? How can you say that? Because God says I'm blessed, and I believe the word instead of my circumstances. And when you believe the word instead of your circumstances, the word will change your circumstances, and it'll become a reality to you in everyday life. So you're not waiting to get to a certain level to say, now I'm blessed financially. Because Jesus bought and paid for it at Calvary, and because it belongs to you right now, you say, I am financially blessed right now. And financially best people, you know, if you're a doer of the word, you're going to act on the word. If I'm already financially blessed, then I'm going to do what? How are you going to act like it's so? They take you up an offering? Oh, yeah, I can give to that. Glory to God, because I'm blessed. Woo, hallelujah. I've already tithed. Let's see, man. Me giving $2 because I ain't got but $4 to my name to last me the rest of the week. I mean, I got enough gas. I'll give $2, but you act like you're blessed. And so Bob Yandian put it this way. If you believe you are financially blessed by faith, then you act like you're financially blessed and begin to give. You do not give your way out of debt in one sense. You believe your way out. You believe you are prosperous. Then you give finances as a corresponding action of your faith. If you really believe you're financially blessed because of your faith in the work of Jesus on the cross, then act like it. People who are prosperous give. And when you give as an act of faith, glory to God, generously and willingly and cheerfully, and what's liberal for you, then you can expect to increase and receive more and more and more and more. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's stand up together. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Aren't you glad? You know, this is what Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 9. You know, his very last thing to the people as he concludes, as he talks to them about supporting this offering, the very last thing he says to them, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. thanks heaven gave the best they had. Glory to God to redeem us. I don't know, somehow or another, the Holy Ghost seemed to put this song in my heart, especially for this morning. I don't really know why per se, but you know, there is an old song that says, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain of blood in his day. And there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away. Glory to God. Ever since by faith I saw that stream, thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Thank God there is a fountain filled with blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that made us clean and that keeps us clean and that sanctifies us as we walk in life. So forth. Let's sing that together if we can, Stacy. Praise God. Sing it if you know it. I know you do. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
There is a fountain filled with blood
drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And sinners plunge beneath that flood.
And sinners plunge beneath that flood. Lose all their
guilty. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah, the blood of Jesus.
Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunge beneath that blood. Lose all their guilty.
Sing that first verse again.
A fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their
on the cross.
And there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away. Washed all my sins away.
God, would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Glory to God. You can sing quietly. That's okay. Have your sins been washed away by the blood of the Lamb? Praise God. Do you know that you're washed in the blood of Jesus and born again? All you have to do is invite Jesus into your heart and say, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. And right now I take you as my Lord and Savior by faith. And then as a Christian, if you've been walking in life, you know, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And Peter said, wash my whole body. And he said, it's not necessary. No, as we're walking in this life, see, walking has to do with us as Christians living our lives out here on the earth. As we're walking through life, sometimes we get our feet dirty, so to speak. Amen. We get entrapped by some sin or caught up in some sin. If you've been caught up in some sin as a Christian and you need to ask God to forgive you, He'll this morning, the Bible says He's faithful and just to wash you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, even as a Christian. So if you need your sins washed away as a sinner, or if you need your sin forgiven as a believer, if that's you, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you lift your hand high for me, please? Let me pray for you. Praise God. Don't walk out of this place this morning not knowing that you're completely right with God and in fellowship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even as a Christian. Glory to God. If you're saved and you know it, lift one hand to heaven. Praise God. Now lift your other hand. Let's praise God together. Praise God. Let's sing it together.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from him.
Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah.
All their guilty stain.
Thank God.
Lose all their guilty stain. Lose all their guilty stain. And sinners plunged beneath the cross. Lose all.
Now here's what we can sing as believers. Ere since by faith I saw that stream, thy flowing wound supply, redeeming love has been my love, my theme rather, and shall be till I die. Let's sing that one.
Ever since
by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wound supply. Redeeming love.
Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. And shall be till I die.
Redeeming love.
Has been my theme and shall be till I die.
Thank you guys, thank you. Sprung that element at the last minute. Some of the newer people, that's all of these, didn't grow up singing those church hymns, you know. Most of us know them, but Lordy, aren't you glad for His redeeming love? Aren't you glad for His indescribable gift? His great gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, for God so loved, He gave. Amen. And He reaped a harvest. He reaped a harvest of you and 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 me. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for His love. Thank God for His grace. I've been touched by the grace of God. And I'm determined to be a bigger giver than I've ever been in my entire life. Praise God. And to share the love of Jesus with as many people as I can. And to help people that are doing great things for God. Help them in doing what they do to reach out with the love of God. And that takes finances. Praise God. Can you say amen? Praise God. Praise God. Tony, tomorrow, Tony's ahead of that. Men's luncheon at OK McGuay's. Dinner, 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 dinner. Not luncheon, not luncheon. Dinner, dinner, dinner at 5:30. I won't be there because I'm going to be out of town. But I'll be there in spirit. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus.